Excellent. Want you to journey with me for a moment to an open front yard. A young couple is sitting on some simple half-cut logs from a large tree. They're just sitting there. And she is speaking. You can't really hear, but she is speaking, and he is looking very intense. His brow is creased, and she appears almost fearful as she talks to him. You notice that she is talking with what you assume to be her fiancé. And at times he places his hand in the air, indicating that she don't say any more. And he gets up and he paces around. And you can tell he's thinking, and he wipes some tears away. And then he comes back and he sits back down, and she continues to speak as she wipes tears from her eyes. And you're wondering, what's their conversation? Because that's what we typically do. We wonder, what are they speaking about? What are they talking about? Well, if you listen intently as you get a little closer, you can hear her say, "I'm pregnant." And she says it with such definite emotion. And it's not the emotional kind of, "I'm upset that I'm pregnant." It's more, "I'm uncertain about what your response is going to be." And he stands again. And as he's wearing this path in the dirt from just pacing back and forth, and again, he's wiping the tears, and he comes over and he looks down at her and he says, "How? Why? Who is he?" And he's sobbing then with emotion as he sits, and she tries to comfort him, putting her hand on his shoulder, and she moves away, or he moves away. And then she explains, she says, "God spoke to me. God talked to me. I'm having his child. We're to be married. And I'm having God's son." And it's then that we hear for the first time his name. "You and I are chosen, Joseph." And he stands again, wearing that path in the dirt, as he says to her, "Mary, I need some time. Just leave me alone." And she leaves. I don't know if that happened, because there's no recorded account of that in Scripture. But I am sure, because I know how I would react, I am sure that Joseph questioned his situation. Because now, once Mary divulged that information, he is now obligated to divorce her. I mean, if this were in the public realm, the divorce, it would free him from any humiliation. He would be in the right to do so. Now, I do not know what emotions stirred within Joseph, but I do know what emotions would stir within me. I would want justice. I would want the public to know so that I'm free from any accusation. All those emotions would certainly be entertained in my mind. Yet, do we actually have a vivid picture in our mind of that first Christmas? The Savior, Jesus Christ, was born, but the situation leading to that wonderful event must have contained frightening, uncertain moments. And maybe that's where you are this morning. As you're approaching this Christmas, there may be frightening, maybe even uncertain moments for you. And that's why we need to look at the life of Joseph, pondering our own situation in life as a backdrop. I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1. And I invite you to follow along as I read Matthew chapter 1, beginning verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, that the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. God add his blessing to his word this morning. Well, the Christmas situation that Joseph was in and our Christmas situation requires mercy. It requires mercy. If you look here, it says this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. And because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had mind to divorce her quietly. Joseph became engaged to a beautiful teenage girl between the ages of 12 to 14. Ooh. Listen closely, young people. This is for you this morning as much as anyone else. 12 to 14 years old. Used by God. Highly favored. Joseph has worked hard to establish an income to support his soon-to-be bride. I mean, he's in love. He's committed to Mary. He thought their love ran deep. And then comes the news. Mary's pregnant. Now think of how you would react. Think of how you would respond if you heard that your fiancé was pregnant. Well, heartbroken and betrayed. How should Joseph respond? I mean, should he publicly shame her? Should he turn her over to the authorities to be stoned? Because that's what would happen. Her explanation of the pregnancy was unbelievable, even blasphemous before God. And understand something, if Mary would not have been stoned on the charge of adultery, she could have been stoned on the charge of serious blasphemy toward God. Joseph is called a righteous man. Why is he righteous? What makes Joseph different from anyone else? What makes him stand differently? The New American Standard Version says at verse 19, "And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly." The Amplified says, "And her promised husband Joseph, being a just and upright man and not willing to expose her publicly and to shame her and disgrace her, decided to repudiate and dismiss," that is, divorce her quietly and secretly. Another translation says, he was a righteous man and unwilling to put her to shame, so he resolved to divorce her quietly. Joseph showed Mary mercy. Now, it's easy to say, well, Joseph, I mean, he could choose mercy because he knew what God was going to do or what God was doing. No. Before God explained anything to Joseph, he needed to be merciful. No malice. No explosion. I mean, he could have said, "How could you do this to me? Who's the father?" "Well, it's God." "No, come on, Mary. Explain it." "Well, it's really God. It's the Holy Spirit." "No." But no words are recorded except tenderness, compassion, and mercy. Do you think the local prayer chain is all fired up with comments? May have been. I mean, the local Nazarene news may have been running complete documentaries on this subject. Yet Joseph would not hurt Mary, no matter what he thought she had done. Could have demanded justice? Could have demanded a bitter sentence? People would have sided with him. Even the religious rulers would have. Yet Joseph chose a righteous mercy. Have you ever been wronged by another person? I'm sure we all have. We all know what that feels like. We know what it's like to be hurt or offended. And I gather to almost comment that I think, and I'm going to comment, not almost, I'm going to, that I think around Christmas, the hustle and bustle of the season, when we say, oh, everything's beautiful, sugar plums dancing in everybody's head, you know, all those kind of wonderful scenes, Norman Rockwell pictures, that I almost believe that this is the time where we lack mercy, more than any other time, because we're too busy. We're too busy. Often there are situations in our life very similar to this Christmas situation, yet the question at that moment when we're hurt, when we're wronged, is, am I reacting righteously? Not am I reacting for my rights, because Joseph could have, but are my actions lining up with the actions of God? Like this true story. Names have been changed to protect the innocent. Or is that guilty? I'm not sure. But true story. Tom and his wife Martha, they especially enjoyed Christmas. And yet for Martha, I mean, it was just hustle and bustle. I mean, it was a season where it was always go here, go there, get everything done. And one day Martha wondered if she could possibly get Tom's help in addressing the Christmas cards. Just simply writing them on the envelopes and so they could stick them in the mail. And, I mean, the family was coming. There was shopping yet to do, gifts to wrap, the tree to decorate, cooking, cleaning. I mean, she had so much to do, Martha, on her plate, that she had the cards arranged. She had the stamp sitting there, even got the address book, placed it open on the table, put a pen in there, hoping that there would be some kind of response. As she said to Tom, she said, come on, dear, let's get these cards out of the way, all right? Let's get them off the dining room table here, and, you know, and looking for some kind of a form of mercy from him and with her hectic schedule. And Tom looked at the table, glanced at this beautiful table all filled with papers and envelopes and books, and he turned away and he went to the den. Martha was furious. And she heard in the den, she heard a drawer jerk open and slam shut in the other room, and he returned a high stack of cards, stamped, sealed, and addressed, and he threw them on the table and said, here, there's last year's cards. I forgot to mail them. Let's go out, relax, and have dinner. You've been working too hard. She was stunned. But she got the mercy she was looking for. See, you are never more righteous. You are never more like God when you react like Joseph when you're wronged. See, God showed mercy on the cross. He demonstrated mercy beyond the cross. And even today, the mercy of God is upon each one of us. We have often wronged him. Does he shout? Does he demand? No. God remembers our sin no more. We are never more like God when we remember the wrong done to us no more. Was Joseph's desire to obey God or please man? If it was to please man, there'd be no Christmas event. For Mary would have been disgraced, stoned publicly. But Joseph's desire was to obey God. You see, something that was so evident in that first Christmas journey was mercy. Say mercy. Oh, you said it so well. Say it again. Mercy. What's God asking from you today? This righteous carpenter would raise God's son to be a merciful servant. Well, our Christmas situation requires mercy, and then God intervenes. If you look at verse 20 here, after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. After he showed mercy, the Lord comes, speaks to him in a dream. See, once Joseph decides that he must show mercy, what seemed to him really was not what was ordained in that time, because justice would have been the way to go. God then speaks to him. See, once Joseph embraced mercy and showed mercy, once he made that decision, and it's the decision. This is not a personality bent. This was a decision on the part of Joseph to show mercy. Once Joseph showed mercy, God blesses him and intervenes in his situation. Many times we're asking, Lord, intervene. And he's just saying, will you show mercy? If you're wondering how to get through your relationship situations, try mercy. I mean, usually that's not even thought of because it doesn't make sense. You say, oh, I'm going to be a doormat if I show mercy. I can't allow that. I'm merciful. But Joseph, a righteous man, demonstrated mercy, and then God intervened in his situation. Abraham Lincoln said it so well. He said, I've always found that mercy bears richer fruits than strict justice. Oh, I like that. Don't think for one moment that mercy is a gift. We all can choose mercy. For we notice here with Joseph, it's only then God speaks to Joseph. I don't think God would say to us, hey, this is a plan here, but you can't do it. Only those who are select can. In our day-to-day activities, we become so controlled, so consumed, so caught in the affairs of the day that we neglect what God is really saying to us. We often can't even get our eyes off of ourselves, off of our rights, off of our demands, off of our justice enough to see what God really desires, what he has for us, is so much better than we could think of. Joseph needed to get his eyes off himself enough to focus on what God had for him. He needed to say, all right, this can't be about me. It's got to be about what God wants, and I have to show mercy to Mary here so that we can have wonderful blessing from God. See, God definitely speaks to us when we do what is right. But when we do what is wrong, and we know when we do what is wrong. We talked about that with peace. We know in our heart what stirs, what the Holy Spirit's telling us is wrong, and we just kind of walk further and further away because we can do that. We can choose to do that. We say, I'm going to walk further and further. I'm going to get deeper and deeper and deeper, and I'm not going to show mercy here. But the moment you start showing mercy is the moment you're drawn back to God. I have found and discovered that in showing mercy, God intervenes. And I don't need any kind of justice other than God intervening, because he looks after it. Well, the Christmas situation requires mercy. Then God intervenes, requesting our obedience. You see, if you look here in verse 24 of Matthew chapter 1, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. You see, once Joseph heard from God, there was no hesitation. There was no, God, wait a minute. Is there another choice here? Because, you know, I'd rather, like, have number two or maybe number three. Let's make a deal, you know. You ever watch that show, God? Because, you know, I don't want curtain number one. I'd like a better choice. I'd like my rights taken care of, God, first. I mean, can I have that right in, Lord? I mean, I need to make sure that you're correct in what you say so that I can prove to everybody else around me that that's correct. You know, I don't want to be a laughingstock here in the community, Lord, so can you do this for me? No. Joseph didn't hesitate. He understood what God expected of him, and he was ready to obey. Now remember, he didn't know really what's going to happen in history. He just listened. And so how does it phrase here? Take Mary home as his wife. She's pregnant. He took Mary home as his wife. He didn't have any concern about his rights or what by law he could do. I mean, he would suffer judgment. He didn't have any written proclamation from God. But Joseph obeyed God anyway, because nothing else mattered. Isn't it powerful when our selfish wants, what's in it for me, gets out of the way? Maybe this is what Helen Snyder Rice meant when she penned these words. She said, "Peace on earth will come to stay when we live Christmas every day." Maybe that's what she meant. Joseph obeyed, even though his promised adopted son, Jesus, would be born under many assumptions. Joseph believed God just as young, now listen, 12 to 14 years old, Mary did and obeyed God and was used by God in a dramatic way. At the age of 12 to 14. See, it doesn't matter your age. You're never too young or you're never too old to be used by God for his glory. He wants to bless your life. He wants to use you. I mean, Scripture calls Mary highly favored. That's powerful. Don't let others inhibit you with your age. Don't think that your age is a factor in how God uses you. You are important to the ministry of God. Joseph and Mary believed God and they were obedient to him. And their obedience was without hesitation. And you know, there's so many occurrences. There's so many occurrences in Scripture. When mercy is shown, God intervenes. And people are obedient. And then they're blessed. And I don't think there's anyone here who doesn't want to be blessed by God. I think that all of us want to be blessed by him. I think that's what we want. We want to walk in obedience to God, but it's not easy, folks. It's hard. It wasn't easy back then, and it isn't easy now to walk in the knowledge of God and be obedient to him. It's difficult. Take time and have devotions with God and sit down 15 minutes time to spend with God. It's hard. Hustle and bustle. Christmas is usually the hardest time to spend with God. See, but God never forces himself on us. Just like the manger birth, our God never forces himself on anyone or anything. He simply, quietly abides and waits for us to come to him. God wants what's best for my life, but I need to be willing to listen intently to what he wants from me, how he wants to use me. God uses us when we allow him to, but we need to be willing servants. Joseph could have demanded his rights. He could have said, "I deserve better than this. I am worth more. I have a successful carpenter business. I'm not going to leave that behind." But Joseph was a righteous man. He showed mercy. He demonstrated that mercy in his relationship. And God intervened in his situation and called him to a greater mission, which determined the salvation of the world. What a blessing. All hinging and the demonstration of mercy. How that speaks to my situations that I walk through with people every day. And Mary, sweet, innocent Mary, could have cried out to God and said, "No! What are my friends going to think? What are my relatives going to say?" But she just think of her age. But she listened to God, and she allowed herself to serve him. And Jesus, our Savior, could have given it all up. I mean, he could have held back. He could have said, "I'm not going to go down to earth. I don't want to take on human form. I don't want to die a horrible death." Jesus didn't. He simply said, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." If we could say that when we're walking through situations, may we be reminded of this Christmas situation, and may it affect each situation we have with others now and throughout the year. Remember the thought of Jesus, his own words, as he said, "Blessed are the merciful." Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Yet so often, we want to be shown mercy without being merciful ourselves. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And as you do, maybe the words that are on your mind right now are the words of Jesus, who said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." You're wondering, you're thinking of Joseph and what he walked through. And maybe you never looked at that perspective of mercy before. Maybe you haven't seen that God intervened when mercy was shown and demonstrated, and that God blessed through that whole Christmas situation. And he can bless through your situation that is troubling you today. Just surrender to him. And maybe he's calling you to show mercy, and I got to tell you that the enemy will tell you not to. The enemy will tell you something totally different than show mercy, because he doesn't like it when we do, because it diffuses everything that the enemy is trying to achieve. Come to God and say to him, "Lord, I want this Christmas to be free. Not a Christmas, Lord, where we're troubled and where we're perplexed all the time, where we're screaming at each other, yelling, where our house is a place of unrest." Talk to him. Father, this morning, as we come to you this morning and learn from your word and the life of Joseph, whom you chose, Lord, we see in just this little passage why he was called righteous, why you turned him that. You described him that way, Lord, for a reason. We thank you. We thank you, Father, that you chose him. And we thank you that he allowed himself to be chosen by you. But Lord, we pray in particular for ourselves today, not selfishly, Lord, but for those relationships that we're in. Lord, may we be diligent servants and ambassadors for you. May we always point to you, Jesus. We pray in your name. And all God's people said, amen. I'll ask the elders to come and prepare the Lord's table. Well, you heard the story of Joseph this morning and what he was called to do. But as we reflect on that, we come to this table and realize that we're all called to do something for the Lord. And Jesus gave his life. And he did this not selfishly, he did it unselfishly, because he did it for you and me to show mercy. And so we come to this table, not for ourselves, but we come to remind ourselves that we are requested to be his ambassadors, that we're called to be his servants. And that requires mercy, wherever we walk, however we talk. It's fitting for us to celebrate the greatest mission to a needy world at this time of year, because God knew at the right time when Jesus was necessary, And so he was sent to die for us. This table is open to all those who have asked Jesus Christ to be part of their living. This table is not our table. It's not the table of this church, but it's the Lord's table. And so we invite all who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior to share at this table. As you receive the bread and the cup, please wait until we've all received it, and then in unity, let us partake together. With that in mind, I'll now ask Mandy to pray for the bread, a symbol of Christ's body broken for you and me.
Dearest Heavenly Father, our hearts are filled with thanksgiving this morning for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, you have given us so many good things, and this morning we celebrate the good gift of your Son. Thank you. There are no words for us to say thank you for Christ's body, which was broken for us. Help us to be thankful this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let your light of your faith shine on us. Lord, let your light of your faith shine on us, that we may be saved, that we may have life to find our way in the darkest night. Let your light shine on.
We read from the Word of God. The Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Surely when I'll pray for the cup, a symbol of Christ's blood shed on Calvary for our sins.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. And as we accept this cup, Father, may we remember the blood you have shed for us. And Father, may your name be glorified in all nations. In Jesus' name. Let your grace from your hand fall on us. Lord, let your grace raise from your hand fall on us, that we be saved, that we
have light to find our way in the darkest night. Let your grace fall on us. Let your grace fall on
us. We read further on in the Word of God. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat the bread and drink from the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. At this time, we understand that the Lord Jesus gave his life for a needy world. And so we take up an offering of benevolence for those in need, and we'll do that now at this time.